sharing a little bit about the shepherds. And do we have the, is it being recorded? Where are we up and running? So today we want to kind of delve into that a little bit about the shepherd's candle and the shepherds at that time. And how interesting, now Tracy shared about it, was, you know, how that message was given to who? The shepherds to do and to go and to see this babe lying in the manger, you know, and he shared on that. And how wonderful and neat that is, that here's just some, like he had said, Tracy had shared, how common folk were brought to the attention of something very miraculous was taking place. And what I liked about it is in Luke 2:15, so it was, when the angels had gone away from them, the shepherds, angels go back into heaven, that the shepherds, they said to one another, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Yeah. One thing about it, the shepherds, they took that information and they acted upon it. And how important that is. Sometimes we would give information to people to say to go somewhere or to go see something, and they might go, well, when I get around to it, or if I don't have anything else going on, or, you know, I can't go right now, but I'll try a little bit later because I'm busy. Now, you got to understand that shepherds were pretty busy, you know, out in the fields at night, watching their flock, guarding their flock from predators, weren't they? And so it's not like they just had free time to go, like, oh, they're just shepherds. They're just common people. They don't have, you know, a job. Well, yeah, they do have a job. Shepherding was a very intense, laborious job back then. Still today, I'm sure it is. But especially back then, to where of having to tend the flock, right? And so you guys kind of know about shepherding, right? And so that's one thing to look at. I want to today to take a further look at that and look at Jesus as what? The shepherd. Jesus, in his own words, used many times that I am the great shepherd. I am the shepherd. I will feed my sheep. I will take care of my sheep. All these things that Jesus alluded to. So today we've lit the shepherd's candle. And we got to remember that Advent is that arrival or the coming of something very special or something of importance. We are looking at the coming of Jesus, who himself said that he was what? The good shepherd. Isaiah, now we find this even beforehand, back in the Old Testament. Here again, the prophecies and the things that were shared back in Isaiah 40:11, you will find there where it says that he will feed his flock like a shepherd. This babe, this man of God, Jesus coming, will feed his flock like a shepherd. And who's his flock? We are. To feed his flock would be to tend to them, to care for them. And that's what Jesus was about. He wanted to come, and he was coming to tend to us. You know, when you think of that word to tend, T-E-N-D, tend to someone, it's somebody helping someone else, tending to their needs, right? You ever had somebody in your family that's been sick or not able to do a whole lot, or they're laid up because they broke a leg or broke an arm or whatever the case might be? They got to take it easy. And we sometimes look at that and say, well, I'm going to tend to their care. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be there for them and do things that they can't easily do themselves. I want to tend to them. Jesus does that very well to us today, doesn't he? To care for us. That's talking about that feed. I'm going to feed my flock. If you look at that word feed back and what it's talking about, to tend to or to care for. The shepherd. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is one who tends. He leads. He guides. He cherishes. He feeds. He protects. We're going to share a little bit about the shepherds of those days. But you look at that, and how Jesus and how God used that as an example, because people could correlate to that. They could understand back in especially those days. Now, if I were to talk to somebody out on the street today and said, I want to shepherd you like a shepherd, they wouldn't even probably like a shepherd. What is that? You know, well, what do they do? Because we're pretty far removed from shepherding sheep and all. But looking at the time and when Jesus was about and what was taking place occupational-wise back then, it alluded to quite a bit about what Jesus was going to be as a shepherd. Because back in those days, a shepherd did tend to the flock. He did lead the sheep to where they needed to go. He did guide them. He did cherish them. He would actually, you know, if he was out at night watch, and we might get into this, but as a shepherding back in those days, generally they would pretty well stay awake, or they would at night put him into an area that they would kind of be restricted in, and the shepherd of that flock would kind of lay at that area or sit at the entrance in and out of that area, like a little quarry area or some kind of a little cove somewhere. He'd put the sheep in there, knowing that they would be safe at night from the predators that are out and about, the wolves and the animals that wanted to have a free meal. And he would kind of put himself at that doorway or that gateway in to that little pasture area, or to that little area that he would have. And he would be what? He's there at the door. You know, the shepherd. This is the natural at the flock. And what was he there for? To protect them. Basically, he would almost lay his life down to protect those sheep, because it was a very important position to the most part to have, because people were entrusting him with sheep. And that was a commodity back then. You know, they didn't have a lot of cultural type things of industry back then. It was a lot of farming, a lot of sheep, cattle, things of that nature. And so we'll kind of get into that. But Jesus is using shepherd, I would look at it as metaphorically or as a likeness of. It's good to compare yourself to something that people can understand, right? And so, you know, I don't know how it would be today, metaphorically speaking, as far as how Jesus would come to be a shepherd. Maybe it would be, I don't know, could be like that of the police officer of today type thing. If I would sit there and say, I'm going to protect you like an officer does, you know, what does that tell you? That an officer will lay his life down to protect the citizenry that he's to protect, guard them, take care of them, and things like that. And so let's go back to that time of being the shepherd, that Jesus is using this metaphorically to let us know what he's going to be like. I'm going to be coming like that of a shepherd. If you go to John 10:11, and in John we find a lot of Jesus talking about the true shepherd. John 10, the heading of my chapter there, begins with Jesus, the true shepherd. So if I look at John 10:11, John 10:11 says this, and I'm pretty sure your Bible says the same thing. This is also in respect to the fourth I Ams of what Jesus was sharing in that particular areas of John, of the, I think it was the seven I Ams that he began to speak of. But let's just look at that 10:11, where it says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Gives his life for the sheep. Now we realize that what he is talking about is what? He's going to die. He's going to lay his life down. Eventually, he knew. He already knew he was going to die. He was going to cover the sins of the world. You know, he was going to hang on the cross. He was going to lay his life down for those around him. But it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So what does a good shepherd do? Well, one descriptive thing is, he's going to lay his life down for it. We'll get into a little bit more of the natural settings of what that shepherd does for his sheep as well. And when you look at that word, a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. It's a descriptive word that signifies that which is beautiful, that's pleasing, that's acceptable, that's excellent, serviceable, attractive, honest. And you kind of look at that, I'm that good shepherd. So you can kind of look at what does good mean. We all know kind of like what good does or what it means, right? If I can sit there and say, boy, this food was what? Good. You know, there was good taste to it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was pleasing. You know, it was excellent. Usually, you know, somebody fixes something You know, we just came out of Thanksgiving. Everybody fixes a turkey, and there are some that fix a turkey really well, and it's really moist and full of flavor, and people go, oh, this was so good. Well, they're actually saying this was acceptable. This was pleasing. This was actually excellent, you know. So we find that, we're finding that with a shepherd. He says, I am a good shepherd. Jesus makes that statement that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Reminds me of a scripture that Jesus also went on to say in John 15:13, where it says this. And this is looking at Jesus and what he was all about. But you begin to unfold these things as you just begin to look at one or two scriptures of things that he said, and you jump into John 15:13. When I read that he gives his life for the sheep, I remember Jesus also saying this, greater love has no one than this, than to do what? Lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We know that Jesus laid down his life for us, didn't he? Just to think of that. We're preparing for his birth, but even like how Tracy was sharing in Sunday school, we kind of jumped from his birth into the resurrection and the crucifixion, but that was the whole thing of Jesus. The whole thing encompassed from birth to death what he was about. But I look at that and to think, my goodness, Jesus came to die for Tim. It's hard to fathom that. That someone that would come to die for you. Can you think of things like that yourself? To think like who would? And this is that thought process of that police officer out there, the firefighter out there, emergency service personnel that do those things. You know, if there's someone on the street with a gun and they're creating havoc and threatening the lives of people, the first thing the officer will do is get everybody to protect themselves or get away, and they go towards the danger. If there's a fire in a house, you know, the fire department is there to get everybody out, but who goes in to make sure that if there's someone left in there? Who goes in to save them? The firefighter. Laying their life down. They don't even know the person. But they've taken that oath. They've got that nature within them that I want to help. I want to be there for someone that needs help, that can't help themselves. And I think that's a great idea of what Jesus is saying, that, you know, those few of us that are here this morning because of the snow, but we know that Jesus came and died for us because we could not help ourselves. You can't help yourself. You could not get rid of your sin, no matter what you did, on your own. It takes receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sin, and letting him wash your sin as white as snow. Amen. But let's get back to the birth. Let's not get to the cross already. But thinking that greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends. Now in those days, back in those times, Jesus was sharing about himself and relating to mankind as how a shepherd was to the flock of sheep that they were responsible for. And to get a perspective of this, we need to kind of look at some of those things of shepherding. Now we get this, and this is something that I had used sometime back in Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It talks about the shepherding and all that in that process of that Psalms. But as we look at this, sheep raising throughout the centuries had been considered the highest occupation back in Arabia and Palestine and Mesopotamia, where people there had little knowledge of agriculture, where people there would have little knowledge of agriculture and where life was simple. Desert dwellers depended upon the sheep and the camels for wool, for tents and clothing, for food and transportation. And so that was a pretty much needed occupation back then, to shepherd the sheep or take care of the cattle or the camels or whatever the case might be. The occupation was one that there was little greed in that. You would find a shepherd back then that it would be very hard to find one that would be dishonest, or crookedness was seldom found. They were sharing and hospitable to one another. They were really a nice group of people, you know. Sheep are gentle. They hardly resist their natural enemies when attacked. They tenderly mother their offspring and search for them in the flock to nurse them. Sheep know their owners and those who love them, especially the shepherd who is with them daily. And that shepherd was with those flock of sheep daily. When he was time to move them from point A to point B, and it would take 3 days, 10 days, 3 weeks, whatever the case might be, that shepherd was with them from sunup to sundown every day until they got to their final place of journey. And during that journey, it was his responsibility to do what? Protect them. Make sure they fed themselves. He would find the pastures that were green. He would know where the grass was. Depending upon the time of the season, the shepherd pretty well knew the back country. They knew that as I go from point A to point B, I need to go in this direction because I know that there's green pastures there. I know there's feed there for the sheep. I know where there's a water outlet where they can drink. You know, all these things, the shepherd had to know these things. And of course, I'm sure the older the shepherd was and had been doing that for quite a while, he pretty well knew those locations and places to take the sheep. But the shepherd would care for them. He would be there with them daily. They would put their trust in that shepherd. They would look to that shepherd to protect them, to guide them, to feed them. God is often pictured in the Bible as that of what? Shepherd. And his people are looked at and referenced as sheep. So we are the sheep. There's no other illustration is more fitting to illustrate God's care for his children. Just as the sheep need the shepherd's guidance and protection while they are led up to the mountain paths or taking them across the plains of a desert or wherever they might be going, you know, God's guidance and care for us is that same way. As we go through this life, there's a lot of pitfalls out there. A lot of things out there that can snare you and take you down, destroy your life, isn't there? And so we, as having Jesus Christ as our shepherd, our great shepherd, he's going to lead us and guide us. Has he led you and guided you this week? Yes. Has he led or guided you throughout your life once you had that relationship with him? Once you went to him and said, Lord, you know, Jesus Christ, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. He becomes your shepherd. He will lead you on the path of life that you need to be on. So now, when a flock has a good shepherd, there's no fear of the sheep being lost. No lack of food or water. The sheep will follow that shepherd. It's like that with man. Once you begin to rely and trust upon God for your spiritual needs and for your guidance, for your daily bread to be supplied, it's like that. Remember, that kind of reminded me, as far as the daily bread, Jesus said, I am the bread, and we know that Bethlehem is bread of life, is the meaning of Bethlehem. That's where he was born. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And you think about that as far as feeding the sheep, okay? And just here again, boom, takes you back to a particular part of Scripture to where we're about feeding of the 5,000 plus. You know, when it was all said and done, probably 10,000, 15,000 people off of fish and bread. Barely enough for a family, really. But he blessed it, and he kept telling them to pass it out, didn't he? And they had leftovers after all of that, to boot. So we find that as supplying our daily bread. He will hear the voice of the men of God, and he will lead them into spiritual understanding and comfort. Have you ever had questions about things? And I know now, as far as it's by that of the Holy Spirit, for Jesus said, I must go so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come. But do you find yourself being led into the things of God by looking at his word and then just meditating on it and asking some questions about it? And pretty soon you may become or come of an understanding of what the Scripture is trying to tell you for your life. I think that's all part of that shepherding, trying to help us and lead us into the things that we need. Sheep, more than any other animals, are timid and fearful. And they're pretty dumb, really. To get right down to it, I've not been a sheep herder, but those that say they're a dumb animal. They don't know what they're doing. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why they need to be led almost by the nose. Like, come on, come here. Here's where you can go, you know. Sheep, more than any other animals, are timid and fearful. They are very sensitive to the voices of strangers and are even disturbed by the rustling of dry grass. I guess they get spooked easy, you know. They're just like in their own little world, and they're just like just to themselves, and any little thing can scare them. Also, sheep have to be led by the shepherd to the pastures, to the water, to the shade. They've got to be taken care of from... As you go through this, I would not want to be a shepherd, really, would you? It's like that's a full-time plus job. It's just not like, you know, on some animals you can say, well, here, just take this pasture and eat what you want, you know. You could probably put them out in the pasture and the sheep would look at it going, meh, like, what do I do now? What do they want me to do? What do I eat? Oh, you know. So they've got to be led around. Is that, okay, here it is, eat this, you know. So they're having to be well taken care of. People without a spiritual leader are often depicted as sheep without a shepherd. You find that with Israel being led astray. When the sheep there, they had no leader. Going through the desert, they got Moses and then many prophets and apostles and all were being called to be shepherds to help these people get through what God had for them to get through. Again, I shared already, but it says here that experienced shepherds know every part of the desert. They know the stars, the seasons, the wells. They know the sheep and the people at whom they have to deal with. They know the tribes and they know the people in that area that they would have to be careful of and how to skirt the issues around them. And maybe, oh, that bad tribe is over here, so we want to go this side or go 2 or 3 miles this way around them. They knew what was out there. Such knowledge is important for the welfare of both the sheep and their owners who live with their flocks in the desert or the mountains. So they're pretty wise people, the shepherds. The position of an experienced shepherd, therefore, is important and unique. And this is something that was very interesting. Back in those days, because they would travel and traverse the land and go from here to there and visit many different places, they acted as arbitrators. They acted as judges, instructors to the young shepherds. They would teach and people would learn from them. They were also known as healers. They would come into maybe a camp or a town and maybe there was somebody dealing with a sickness or some kind of an injury or a wound or an infection or something, a broken bone or something. And maybe the town people would say, how do we take care of this? Well, how would a shepherd know how to take care of that? Because they would take care of the sheep. They were the medical vet for taking care of the sheep out in the fields. I'm sure if the sheep had upset stomach and they knew that, they probably knew what kind of grass or what they needed to eat to kind of get that through their system. If a sheep got hurt, they probably knew how to, you know, take care of the leg or whatever to help it get stronger or whatever the case might be. And so being a shepherd back then was not just like the low totem pole job, like, oh, you can't do anything more than just being a shepherd? Wow. You know, no. A shepherd really comes with some background, especially a well-seasoned shepherd. I would say it today was probably worth his weight in gold because of the commodity that he dealt with and the things that he had to be responsible for. But I never really thought much about them being arbitrators or judges or, you know, being able to be looked at as a doctor coming into a town. You know, anybody that knew how to fix something medically, they would be looked at. I've tried that, and I've done those things around home. Anybody here taking care of your injury at home before you go to the doctor? I try to self-do it, you know. Thank goodness now for WebMD and things like that, where you can look up and go, well, okay, I kind of follow along those symptoms. That's what I'll do. Or, you know, you get a cut, what do I need to do? Flush it out. Well, now after it's flushed out, what do I do? Kind of get it pushed together and put a Band-Aid on it, and your skin will begin to grow back over it, and things like that. We try to do that. But we look at the shepherd as really more than just being shepherding the herd. The whole tribe would look up to them for spiritual and material welfare. Like a statesman, they made oral treaties in surrounding tribes. They would seek lost sheep. They also treated wounds, adjusted broken bones, both of men and animals. Jesus called himself the door of the sheep. That is the door of the fold where the sheep are housed during the night. Like a good shepherd, he gave his life for the sake of the sheep. The psalmist calls God the shepherd of Israel, who neither slumbers or sleeps. And I like that, where God says he will neither slumber or sleep. I find, and I've said before, comfort in that, because my God is always with me. I'm sure it kind of helps you along too, huh? Good shepherds sleep very little, and then only during the day when the sheep are resting near the camp. At night, the shepherds are keeping constant watch over their flocks. Why is that? When does the predators come out? Nighttime, in the darkness. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. And we find that in John, and we'll find that in the scripture here in just a minute. But it says, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him when he grazes and brings them back to the fold. They respond to his words and the gestures of his hands and head. Could you imagine leading a pack or a flock of sheep just by your hands? As they look at you, you move your hand to the right or the left or whatever, and they just know that's the way to go. Have you ever, now that this reminds me of some of these shows you see on TV. I can't think what it is, but it's actually a competition for herding sheep. And they got sheepdogs. Now, a sheepdog isn't a dog that's got a lot of long hair. Any of these certain breeds of dogs, they call them sheepdogs. And it's amazing how they've got these dogs trained to where they've got, for this course, they've got sheep out in this pasture. And they've got a corral over in this area. And so now the sheep are all over here on the hillside. You got a corral over here. And you got the herder and the sheepdog over here. The sheep are over there. The corral is over here. And the competition is, how long does it take your dog to get those sheep from there into this corral? And it's amazing to watch even the dog respond. You know, the handler sets them out, and he gives them some kind of command, whatever it is, and whatever it is, the dog knows. And he knows that, or she knows, they need to go get the sheep and corral them into that corral. But there again, even the dog himself is listening to, I would call that as a modern-day sheep herder, you know, that man back there, now he's got a dog, but that man is giving those dogs hand signals to do what they need to do. Or to whistle a certain whistle. They know two whistles mean this, one whistle means that. You're saying, is that possible? Yes. There's a guy out here training his Labrador retrievers a few years back, and I would watch him. And he would put stakes out here in our field. And then he'd set up here in the cut grass, he would sit, and that Labrador would sit right at his side. And then that man would give the command to go. And what he would do is, if they're sitting like this and the flag was over in this corner of the field, what he would do, though, is he would face it. So when the man would move one side to the other, that Labrador retriever would move with him. So if he was looking this way, the dog was sitting this way. If he looked this way to the flag, the dog was right at his right side. So that was getting the dog to go in the first of all, the direction of where he needed to go. So, all of a sudden, he'd get him lined up. He'd say, whatever the command was, go! The dog would take off. Go! Boom! The dog would run fairly straight. Now, we know running fairly straight, he might get off course a little bit. You know, the flag is here. As he's running, he starts kind of going to the right a little bit. Well, when the handler saw him going to the right a little bit, he would have a whistle, and he'd blow a whistle. The dog would stop, turn and look at the handler. The handler would go like this way. That dog knew that signal to go that way and start cutting to the left. And he might go too far to the left. Now he'd have to whistle again. Dog would stop, turn around and look. Now the handler's still there, and now he's going this way. Go to the right. And that dog was watching those signals even from across this field, and eventually, without hardly any adjustments, he would go right to that flag, pick up that little toy that he would have there, and bring it back to the handler. I was just amazed at that. It's just like, this is cool, you know? That dog is awesome. Takes a lot of training and perseverance with it. But that's what that guy did. He had several Labrador retrievers, and he trained them, and he would do quite well in competitions. But it was all those things. He would say this, that then they'd get them used to gunshots. And you have like a blank, and you get them used to that boom type thing. He said the competition one time he went to is they would have like four ducks that would be out in an area. And the dog would have to kind of watch somehow and know where all four of them were when they dropped. Somehow they shot them out of like an air gun or something like that, cannon. And so they go boom like that, and this duck would fly out and it's dead, but it'd fly out there and land, and they'd do that three or four times. Boom, boom, boom. To win the competition, the dog would have to remember where all three of them were. And that dog would take out. And believe it or not, he says, to win the competition, they'd have to go and pick up each duck one at a time and go get the next one. And somehow, those dogs retain that memory of, oh, one fell over here, one fell over there, one fell this way, It's just amazing. Amazing to train and teach animals. But as you look at that, and the dog is a lot smarter than the sheep. Let me tell you, because I don't think you're going to train the sheep to do those type things, because they're dumb, They're just dumb animals. But to how you can work with those type animals, and each one has a level of understanding and what they can do, but the sheep were not like that. The sheep needed a shepherd. That's why, many times a shepherd would probably also have a shepherd dog and help them too, and a lot of it was for protection, a lot of it was for helping and guidance, but just amazing. But I like this, where the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him when he grazes them or brings them back to the fold. They respond to his words, to the gestures of his hands and his head. They follow him wherever he leads them. I've said this, repeat it again. I hope and desire that if I'm not there yet, I want to get there to where if I were to look at my God spiritually and see his face and just see his eyes left or right, that I would know by that or by his expressions on his face what he thought of me. If he was pleased with me, be happy face. If he was frowning, I know I kind of displeased him. If he looked over to the left with his eyes, I would understand that to be, oh, he wants me to go that direction without saying a word. I don't know why. I've always thought of that, but it's like I really would like to have that intimacy and that closeness with my Lord to where I could just look. Kind of like that of a sheep looking at his shepherd. And just by looking at the shepherd, and if the shepherd goes like this or takes his head and goes that way or just looks over that direction, I know, oh, that's where you want me to go? Okay, Lord, I'll do that. You don't have to tell me. Just point there and look at that direction. I can read that. Why would that happen? Because the longer that I'm with him, the longer that I read his word, the longer that I listen to that of the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit to speak to me, that I begin to hear and understand, and I know his voice above all those others out there. Because this is what's important too, is that they will shun a new shepherd. If a flock of sheep have been with this person for so long, there's not going to be a new shepherd really come in and just take them, They're not going to go with that new shepherd. They don't recognize that voice. They don't like those strange voices and strange noises. They recognize those who understand and care for them, and they feel the presence of a good shepherd. For they know as long as he leads them, they will be safe and they will lack nothing. That is my shepherd today with that of Jesus. How about you? That my shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, my goodness, as we look at this, the good shepherd, that is my shepherd. How about yours? God's care for his people is like that of a good shepherd for his flock. He is constantly mindful of your needs. He protects you. God leads us along the path of life. He comforts our hearts and he heals our wounds. He meets the needs of those who trust in him. Remember, we talked about how the sheep know the voice of that shepherd. Well, Jesus says that same thing. Here again, remember, he's metaphorically talking like a shepherd and how the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And he says the same thing in John 10:27. He says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." As you look through John, especially chapter 10, it just shares so much about what Jesus says he is. In John 10:7, he says that I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Talks about that. I am the good shepherd in 10:11. My sheep, again, remember 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now you look at this to where in 10:16, where remember I talked about, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. That's 10:14. You get into John 10:15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus is saying, I lay my life down for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now what you're finding here is he's referencing other sheep as anticipating the mission of the Gentiles after Pentecost and after their full incarnation into the one church. And so we continue to go out and continue to get the sheep for the Lord. Amen? And so as we look at this, just as the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, God's people hear the voices of prophets and of men of God who direct them to the places of abundance, which is the truth. They also know the voice of false prophets and false Christ who lead them astray. So they do not hear them nor follow them. And the pastoral care and things like that, they talk of the pastor being the shepherding and shepherding the people, and the church is his flock and things of that nature. And it's hopefully as we work through this that, here again, my plan and desire is to bring God's word to you and to share the truth of God's word into your life so that you can have an abundant life, so that you can have good things in your life. And I'm not saying it'll be perfect and that you don't have struggles, but I'm just saying that you have a source of knowing who God is in your life, and that when you do go through a problem, an illness, a sickness, whatever catastrophe might be, that you know who to call upon. And that God is there to help you, and that God is there to provide a way. And remember, it says that he never sleeps nor slumbers, and things of that nature, and he fights for you. And so as a shepherd, to the charge that I have with the people, is that I just need to point you into the word, the right food to eat, eat the Bible, man. Glean the word, the milk of the word, just read everything you can. Especially they say, what should I read in the Bible? Maybe one of these days we'll do this, where we will not read anything other than just the red. Just read the red of the Bible and read what Jesus said. And by reading that, I tell you what, sometime that I've picked up and just read a lot of the red of Jesus, it's very encouraging, very helpful, very fruitful to kind of give you some insights and a reminder of this is Jesus speaking. This is what my Lord is saying. And we can use that for today as well, right? Amen. So I hope you get a little bit of a thought process of the shepherd candle. Yes, the shepherd candle talked where the angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds in the field by night, telling them to go to this Bethlehem to find this babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes. And he shared with them, and You know, here again, you found out, and I shared a little bit, but, you know, they knew the lay of the land. They were very, very familiar with night skies, the stars, the heavens. They could read so much to understand these things because they lived out there day in and day out. But then also knowing that they're just mere people. A profession that really could tie into, and I think it's one of those things that as we looked at Jesus referring to himself as a shepherd, to kind of metaphorically look at that understanding of what a shepherd was and what they did, and Jesus is saying, I am that shepherd for my flock that'll lay down his life, that knows his sheep, know his voice, and he knows them. Personal intimacy with one another. Amen. No matter how many sheep were in the flock of that flock, they all knew the shepherd's voice, and that shepherd knew each sheep that belonged to him because he spent so much time with them. And he could probably tell when a sheep got in there that wasn't his. It probably didn't respond the same as the others, because remember, the sheep that know his voice, they would respond to that voice. Well, if it was a strange voice, that sheep would probably not respond or do whatever. You know, I'm just thinking what potentially it could be. But you know, the shepherd knew who was in his flock. Christ knows who his sheep are. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time and all that is about. As we have gleaned a little bit more out of your words, Lord, kind of defining a little bit more about you as the good shepherd. We thank you, Father, for being our shepherd today. We thank you, Father, for how this season is coming, Lord, to the point in time of your birth as we get ready to celebrate it in just a couple of more weeks, Lord, and rereading the Christmas story and the beginning of your life. Father, I thank you that we've got your word to reflect upon. Father, I'm thankful that as we read it, you used examples of those days that would shed a light as to what your purpose was all about and how it would relate to the people back then. And we find it as how it relates to us today if we just do a little bit of research into that of the parables that you would share and the things that people would understand back then as you would share them. That same word that you shared back then, we can understand it even today and come up with a meaning of what it is about and how it pertains to our lives today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. As we continue on this journey,